Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Come on. Disgusting what you're doing.
Absolutely disgusting.
Well, I don't think the neighbours are enjoying it. Oh my God. Hello there, welcome to the podcast. This is another week. Fresh new start, a bright new week, the same old it's been a hell of a week. It's plant bukkake week for me. I don't know about you. My left eye firmly spattered in pollen. They're all at it in the garden. It's disgusting. But what can you do? That's plants. Anyway, look, we should crack on because I am joined by my special guest. I don't know how many appearances you make before you stop being a special guest, Mick. At some point, you'll stop being a special guest. You'll just be...
I feel it's becoming rapidly unspecial.
I disagree. I think it gets more special every time. You know those people, you know, they talk about their marriage and they say, you know what, every day gets better and better. It's like that.
Yeah, they're full of it, aren't they?
So last night, you and I, we were both watching the launch of GB News, Britain's brightest, yes, lightest, and that's it, news channel. Did you love it?
No, very much not.
Great.
Very much not. It was everything we expected it to be, and worse. As you would expect from a channel featuring the most odious man in British media, Dan Wootton.
I was quite surprised at how bad it was. I mean, just on a technical level, it was so shonky and dark.
Well, as I said to you last night, it was the very definition of, you know, people say, oh, yes, you can see it. All the money was on the screen. Well, this was the opposite of that. None of the money was on the screen.
All the money was going on Ryanair flights between Andrew Neil's house and London. But... it's really weirdly gloomy and dark. Their breakfast show, I don't know if you saw any of it.
I was just watching it before I joined you.
Kim, my partner, she said it looks like it's been filmed at a Hertz rent-a-car counter in an airport.
Yeah, the little waiting area.
Subterranean, right by the car park kind of vibe with repurposed lights from Starbucks.
Well, as I dubbed it in my newsletter this morning, it's filmed in the Pratt Cave.
Everything. It's like just open your iris, guys.
It's curious. Someone fairly senior at Sky News was saying to me yesterday that they had noticed also that there was, from a technical perspective, a change in the resolution between when they were filming the segments with Andrew Neil talking to presenters and then switched to Dan Wootton. There was the Dan Wootton show was being filmed on entirely different cameras,
right?
Or a higher resolution. Perhaps that's in his rider. He requires a higher resolution version of his face.
Yeah, I mean, so it started with Andrew Neil doing a sort of his big Churchillian speech about freedom of speech, goddammit, and we will tolerate this no more. And finally giving a voice to the voiceless, like Alison Pearson, who's had a...
Like Alison Pearson and little-known failed parliamentary candidate Nigel Farage.
And I was pleased to see the guy from Coast, who it turns out...
Neil Oliver.
I thought he was just a bit weird, and now I know he's a nutter. But his job was to sort of be like when you have an actor on Question Time. His job was to do the sort of fairly empty platitudes about, well, I think there's good and bad on both sides, guys.
Yeah, he's gonna have his own show though, and yeah. And he's kind of got a darker, you know, he is pretty conspiracy theory adjacent, is the way I would frame it in a legally defensible manner.
I'm waiting for. I want them to sign Nick Knowles on this podcast. We're huge fans of Nick Knowles and his.
Well, the Sun did that thing where they claimed he was going to get sacked in order for them to save him from being sacked two days later.
Oh, brilliant!
Over his over an advert, I believe, for cereal.
It was Shreddies, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, because he's not averse to a conspiracy theory or two.
No, he is not. Yes, it's the really interesting thing is, but like with this morning's breakfast show, you've got Colin Brazier, who again I've been talking to people within Sky News about this, doing some actual journalism and trying to talk to Amazing. People and saying, well, what do you think? And they were like, well, you know, Colin is, he's always been fairly right wing, but he's a really good he's a really good presenter, and he was very, you know, straight down the line at Sky. And there's this sense that what they're doing on every show is they have one kind of pro, like him, to just kind of like drive the show and make sure that, you know, you hit the ad breaks. Yeah, and then you have one gobshite who's just there to just sort of, you know, have wild opinions. And so you had the unedifying sight last night of Simon McCoy sat next to Alexandra Phillips, ex Brexit Party MEP and former employee of the parent company of Cambridge Analytica, who was involved in messing about with elections in Africa. Again, messing about, a legally defensible term.
Thanks for that.
And so you have him there going, yes, she has got a section where she does a rant, and he looked embarrassed already. And yes. I could just see him thinking, just take the money, Simon. Just take the money. Your time at the BBC was probably done anyway. Just take the money.
Simon McCoy is a funny one because you kind of think, we all sort of cheered a bit when he was on the BBC and said, oh, someone standing outside a hospital waiting to give news of whether or not a woman's given birth. Is that really news? Are we really doing this? And you kind of go, yes, good for you. What a maverick you are. And now he's jumped to this station where they're doing news stories that are so spurious as to be laughable. And you're kind of thinking, what? How are you feeling, Simon? Like, genuinely, how are you? Because, there's this sort of amazing, endless procession of people who enjoyed the BBC's money and status for, you know, decades, and then left and started talking about how terrible it was. And Neil Oliver was doing the same thing last night, talking about how awful the BBC was and the lamestream.
Yeah, the interesting thing was that in some of the interviews is that Andrew Neil doesn't quite do that, right? He will say, oh, the BBC is true left-wing in news, which is farcical. Like, if you consume BBC news content, if you watch or listen to the Today programme on a daily basis, you realise that its news agenda is driven almost entirely by the running order is comprised of what they saw in the Daily Mail. It matches, you know, one for one. So the notion that the BBC is sort of massively left-wing is you know, for the birds. It probably is, to an extent it is in comedy, but that's because right-wing people aren't very funny.
No, it's because the job of what used to be called satirical comedy was to mock the people in power.
And the Tories are in government.
Yeah, which is why comedy should be left-wing right now. It's about redressing a balance. There was never any conversation about, well, we should have balance in this satire. Mm. No one ever said that until now.
No. And the thing, and you'll get stuff like, you know, the MASH report is forever attacked for being this show that was needlessly left-wing. But it's the show that really gave Jeff Norcott, for instance, a launch pad, you know, and one of the few right-wing comedians that at least will write jokes rather than just simply saying, I identify as an attack helicopter. and one of the proponents of that, Andrew Doyle, is on GB News with his Saturday afternoon evening show, Free Speech Nation, which I'm sure will be reliably laugh free. But you know, the thing that we really should talk about is the fact that At about 8:05, Andrew Neil said, "This station, GB News, will not be a station that indulges in conspiracy theories or fake news." 1 hour later, at about 9:05, Dan Wooten did a long monologue on how lockdowns don't work and we should have been more like Sweden, Florida, or Texas. You know, just completely conspiracy theory adjacent content.
Which, yeah, in your newsletter, you said it this morning, you could repudiate, because apparently even the King of Sweden said, we kind of messed up there.
Yeah, so Florida is believed to have undercounted its official number of deaths is 37,000 at the time of speaking, but it's confidently thought that they've deliberately undercounted that by about 40%. Texas has a population of 29 million people and a death toll of 50,857. So pretty high for the number of people that there is. And Sweden, the King of Sweden said that its initial response to the pandemic was a failure and it's had significantly more deaths than its more cautious Scandinavian neighbours. But, you know, facts don't, you know, facts will not let Dan Wooten get in the way of sort of
no. I've got a little clip of Dan Wooten that I'll play in a minute. But speaking of cautious approaches, were you surprised at kind of how strongly they came out of the trap? Because to be honest, when my anticipation was that I would tune in and what I would get was something that was quite careful, quite cautious, quite balanced, because it's day one. Everyone's going to be watching, and I thought that all of the liberals and the metropolitan media elites, such as you and me, you know, were kind of, they would present something where we would watch a bit. It's kind of like, it reminded me of a really old sketch. Do you remember Three of a Kind with Tracy Ullman
yes.
and David Copperfield? They did a sketch where every Sunday morning on BBC Two, probably, there used to be a show, I think it was like a Turkish program. And it was in Turkish language. And they did a sketch where the show opened and this guy was talking Turkish and he does it for a few seconds and then he goes, "Right, I think that's got rid of all the English people. Now we can get on with the real program." And I was kind of expecting something like that from GB News. I was expecting them to kind of start in this quite measured, quite balanced way and then be kind of like, "Right, all the liberals have gone now, satisfied that we're not doing anything bad. Now we can really let rip." Mm. But actually, they just, from the get-go, they were off and away.
It was there from day one. But the thing with the Dan Wooten thing, he's not capable of any. He's not capable of
defaults
nuance
to rabbit.
He is one of. He's not the worst person currently broadcasting on TV or radio in the UK, because the worst person, the most ill-suited to radio or television, is Giles Corran, a man who speaks constantly at the same speed. As if he's at a dinner party, coked off his face. By the way, no implication that he is,
yeah,
obviously.
As if he was, which, yeah,
you know, as
yeah.
if he was. But he's terrible. He's awful on radio. It's unbearable to listen to.
I haven't listened to that yet.
Yeah, you should listen to it because it's so bad.
I love a good hate listen.
But Dan Wooten's issue is he can't do nuance. He talks constantly in the leaden prose of a tabloid. You know, the kind of block capitals intro copy they have? That's just Dan Wooten the entire time. And he looks at his guests like a dog that is convinced. I wrote, this is a line from my newsletter, so I'm just reusing it. But he looks at his guests like a dog that is convinced you've got cooked chicken in your pocket. Just like ready, like unable to wait for them to finish. And what they had is they had a typical panel. They had Neil Oliver there on his panel. He had Carol Malone of the Daily Express, never heard, very silenced woman. Carol Malone of Loose Women, The Pledge on Sky, and Jeremy Vine's show at least twice a week, but very silent. And then Benjamin Butterworth from the iPaper, who seems to love to be treated like a chew toy by right wingers. He goes on talk radio quite often to just basically be shouted down. And he was there to be shouted down. So when Dan Wooten talked to Malone or Neil Oliver, he listened to them. And then anytime Benjamin Butterworth said anything, he was just hammered and shouted down. And this, again, earlier on, an hour earlier, Andrew Neil was saying, "Well, of course, we believe in debate and listening to different points of view." it's just such horseshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And every program that I've seen four of their programs now, has been talking about taking the knee and saying, well, you shouldn't really do that because it's political, you know. And
did you see the beautiful moment when Dan Wootton tried to make Alan Sugar say that he disagreed with players taking the knee, and Alan Sugar said, oh, I think the players have every right to express their opinions.
Yeah.
And Dan Wootton was like, thought, okay, well, I'll get him on, would you take the knee? To which Alan Sugar said, well, that's just a bloody stupid question. Yeah. Where am I going to do that? In Sainsbury's?
Yeah.
Like, who cares if I do or not?
There's a real problem, I think, that, you know, all of their guests, they're going to seek out guests like Alan Sugar, who he has money and power, and so he doesn't have to toe any kind of line. And those are the people they want, because they're the people who will sort of say the maverick things that they want said. But you're never, you know, as the left has found to its chagrin, you can never get full alignment on every issue.
Yeah.
And so then you run into all this trouble where Dan Wootton was unbearably obsequious. I'll play the clip in a second. Fawning and ingratiating himself to Lord Sugar at one point, saying, oh, the apprentice is the only reason I'll pay the license fee, frankly. And I mean, it was really excruciating to watch. But then Alan Sugar saying the Sun, the only truth in the Sun is the date on the front. And
is the date and the cover price.
Yeah. And
then Dan Wootton remembering that eventually he'll have to be re-employed by Rupert Murdoch going, yeah, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And then being told it was a bloody stupid question. And you kind of think, wow, yeah, this is not going to be a comfortable ride for you guys, because there's never full consensus. So then what do you do? So,
well, they have to get more. What they'll have to do is get more and more desperate right-wing voices, the ones that really want the attention. I mean, when they had, they announced that they had a section called The Uncancelled. The guest on that yesterday was Alison Pearson, notoriously cancelled in her role as a six-figure earning Daily Telegraph columnist and a figure in the British media for the past 30 years. I could tell that somewhere in County Durham, in his little bunker, Darren Grimes was up like a meerkat here and thinking, I've been cancelled. I can get on GB News. There's still a chance. Yeah. And that's what will happen. They'll have to increasingly get these people who will say anything, you know, for a free hobnob in the green room.
There's not much I wouldn't do for a free hobnob in a green room right now.
I know. Look forward to Jake Yap's satirical look at the news on GB News coming soon.
Yeah. Today's token is Jake Yap. Benjamin Butterworth is just waiting for the...
Yeah, he's on talk radio at the moment, so we can't have him.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Mick, thanks very much for your thoughts on that. Don't forget, it's Broken Bottle Boy. Is it .substack.com? Is that right?
Correct.
There you
See,
go.
That's how I'm not a special guest anymore. You can remember the web address.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Go and sign up to his newsletter. It's a fantastic read, and it's outputted at a prodigious rate. Thanks very much indeed. Will we see you next week?
Yes, indeed.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
For more blood pressure increasing content.
Keep drinking the Monster. We'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye. I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to leave Mick and the GB News bit with this clip of Dan Wootton. This was him attempting to introduce Lord Sugar and saying, well, someone who's been at the sharp end of COVID is Lord Sugar, having lost, I think, his brother and his sister to COVID. So this is never going to be an easy interview to say all this lockdown silliness needs to end. In fact, Lord Sugar went on to say that he'd been to Australia and they'd had quite stringent lockdown, and he felt that they'd sort of done it right. But anyway, this is sort of what you could expect from the show.
So you certainly know the tragedy of COVID, Lord Sugar.
Yeah.
We've just lost Lord Sugar. What a shame. We will try and get him back in just a moment, because, of course, there is so much to discuss with him at this really, really difficult time for the UK. Some brilliant questions coming in from you. So let me just remind you how you can contribute, if you want to, GBViews at gbnews.uk. That is our email address. But for the moment, let me bring back in our superstar panel as we await for Lord Sugar to come back. Carol Malone, Benjamin Butterworth, and Neil Oliver. Well, actually, we'll come back to you very shortly, guys, because I think we have Lord Sugar back. Lord Sugar, sorry, we just lost you as I was passing on my condolences for the loss of your brother, Derek, and your sister, Shirley.
Yes, thank you very much, yeah. It's a technology, you've got a technology problem there. You should use some of my old computers.
We need them badly tonight.
Then it would at least work instead of using all that other stuff you've got there.
Let's hope technology doesn't let us down again.
Yeah, you could see the glittering eyes. You knew someone was in for a really bad time in the post-show meeting. I mean, it is kind of on a wing and a prayer. It's technologically, it's just not quite there. Anyway, that's it. Andrew Neil's Babe Station. Cheap and nasty and giving you the thrill you want so much. Now, don't forget, at some point soon, maybe tomorrow, I haven't sorted it out yet, we'll have John Holmes back, where we'll be being controversial for coins with our own take on that. It's Britain Awake, Britain's brightest, second brightest and lightest now. Although, actually, just in terms of Lumen's brightest breakfast show, if you've got anything controversial that you'd like us to discuss or to get off your chest, why don't you send us a voice message to our WhatsApp account? Here's the address.
You can WhatsApp JCAP on 07862-032-654.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Speaking of John Holmes, he's weighed in on our latest talking point. So we were talking about poetry on Friday with Davey. And Davey quite recklessly solicited poems from people, particularly limericks. And I slightly modified that over the weekend. What I want from you is an unfinishable limerick. So, for example, you know, there was a young girl from Nantucket, right? You can't finish that in a family-friendly way. I'm sure there's lots about Jeremy Hunt that we could have a go at. So I wanted your sort of opening line for an unfinishable limerick. And we had some great ones. Jem suggested Prince Andrew was scratching his bonds. Unfinishable. Hashtag unfinishable limericks. It's at Not Today Pod on Twitter. And John Holmes weighed in. He had one, which was there was. And then if you can finish an unfinishable limerick in a family-friendly way, I want to hear that too. Anyway, John Holmes went for, there was a young lady from Bude who went for a swim in the nude. A man in a punt stuck a pole in her ear and said, you can't swim here, it's private. So there you go. I had a go at an unfinishable one. So my opening gambit was, whilst driving her new Skoda Fabia, a lady got lost in Arabia, says Dean. Sand got everywhere, made a mess of her hair. Some even turned up in, oh yeah, I see what you mean. Yes, so that's the idea. Hashtag unfinishable limericks. Do join in with those. That'd be great. And we've got an email here. This is from Hannah. Morning, Jake. Hope all is well with you and yours and the Appreciation Society. I know that you probably now wish you hadn't opened this can of worms as you don't like poetry. Well, it's not that I don't like poetry. You know, it's like I could say I don't like musicals. There's a handful that I love. Anyway, here are a couple of limericks about two of the pod listeners. Oh, wow. There once was a pod producer named Julie, whose behaviour was mostly unruly. She'd drink and she'd swear and remove underwear and then suffer from hangovers cruelly. Very good. And then another one. There once was a master baker named Jane, whose fancy cakes were really insane. She mixed in out-of-date stuff and tummy button fluff, but we were all far too polite to complain. Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate those. Very nice. So, yeah, any unfinishable limericks? I don't know why I can't say that particularly successfully. Do share them. Final thing I've got for you today is a recommendation. By the way, it's not today, pod. It's not today at swanburst.com. Sorry. A recommendation for a game. I've been casting about for a good video game for ages and sort of had concluded that it's just not happening. Maybe it's Hare Krishna. I don't know. There's something lacking from my life. And I found this game is quite old. It's called 80 Days and it's published by a company called Inkle, and you can get it on iOS, probably Android, and Switch, I think, if you do any of those things. And it's kind of a text-based adventure, and you are Passepartout, escorting Phileas Fogg around the world in 80 days. And it's just a sort of text-based adventure where you've got to trade off money versus time versus routes. And there's like literally thousands of routes. There's something like 169 points on the world map that you can pass through. But, you know, you won't do more than 20 when you go around. And it's all kind of steampunk, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it's worth a go. Like, I played it through once and instantly started playing it all over again because there's a lot more for it to offer. It's a good game. It's like a fiver for anyone who's got a fiver. Anyway, that's it for today. Don't forget, tomorrow we need to nail down what we're going to write a musical about. Somebody had a suggestion on Twitter. I don't know. Someone had a suggestion on WhatsApp. And I can't remember who it was. But it was Joel. Said, seeing as you're able to knock these things out in 2 days, I'd like to think you could sell those mini musicals that schools do. Okay. My daughter is doing one at the moment called Pirates of the Curry Bean, whose whole premise appears to be built on the island being called Lumbago rather than Tobago. I have no idea if there's any money in it. Presumably not, as it's on YouTube and Spotify, and the scripts have been photocopied so much they resemble the Turin Shroud. But it's an idea. Okay, this wasn't an idea. I probably should have read this before. I'm not your agent, but thought I'd let you know I'd thought of you. That's nice. Thanks, Joel. That's all I needed. We did one called Jonah Man Jazz at school, and another about Nelson that had white boys singing as natives with jazz hands and Caribbean accents. It was fine. Mate, GB News. Maybe we should do GB musicals. Maybe that's the way forward. I don't know. Anyway, all a bit shambolic this morning. Kind of ran out of time and technical. All the best. Well done. Let me just end the program. But do send your suggestions through. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. Oh, whatever. What do you want to do? And I'll book someone for tomorrow. Do check out 80 Days. It's a really good game. I think I might go and play it. There's literally nothing else happening in my life. I will see you tomorrow. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.